Hey, what's up? This is your boy Frankie Gutter, man. This is my first podcast ever. Don't know exactly what to talk about, but I'm hoping, you know, that people can give it a listen. So, today I woke up, you know, same old day. Got up on my bed, brushed my teeth. Thank the Lord I'm alive again. You know, one thing I would like to talk about, though, you know, like, this morning I felt like it's, you know, racism, like, that's one thing I would like to talk about. Racism isn't really racism anymore. It's like, it's more of a hate thing, you know? It's not even like, you know, it's not that they don't even like our kind or wherever you're from. If you're from Mexico, Dominican, Black, whatever you're from, you know? It's not even that they don't like your color anymore. It's the fact that they're hating how much money we're making and how fast we're evolving. How we're doing the things that they created and have done better than them, you know, is jealousy. It's a lot of envy. It just keeps going. Like kids really just, you know, they want to express themselves. They want to grow. They want to live a life that they want to live. You can't try to stop that kid from doing that when you were able to chance, you know, you were given the chance to do that as a young kid growing up. And a lot of our parents was worse. You know, I want to speak right now for the youth, you know, for the perspective of the youth and of the kids and how messed up your mind can get if you don't have a parental advice, if you don't have guidance, you know. Maybe I'm just, you know, talking my shit, but I am angry, you know. I'm angry my father didn't help me as a kid, wasn't there for me, didn't push me. I'm angry at all these things. I'm angry that I didn't get to see my mom for 10 years, you know, but all this shit, all this stuff, all the things that I go through and have went through, just make me stronger, just make me grow. You know, like, I remember I was, I would say 8 years old, and I was living in the Dominican Republic, and that's like, you know, it's another country, it's a third world country, it's not like here, it's not the same at all. So I'm living over there, you know, I'm going to school, everything is cool, everything is fine. And one day, I got a call. I was in school. I think I remember this. I was either in math class or I don't know what class I was in, but they called me in school and they told me, you have to go to the hospital. Your mom, she's in the hospital. You know, they told me to rest over there, but anyway, I packed my stuff. On my way to the hospital, all I could remember is seeing my mom laying down in that bed, you know, looking sick, looking like her life was lost, everything was done, like, she couldn't, you know. And what's crazy was about that is that my mom actually ended up in the hospital trying to go pick me up from school in a bus that she paid for because we didn't have a ride, you know, we couldn't get anywhere. We you know, it's a third world country, we didn't have shit, we barely had much. And she actually went to the hospital and almost lost her life because she went to pick me up from school in a bus. And as soon as she approached out of the bus, a car just, you know, slammed her and just, like, just took her, you know. And ever since, when I went to the hospital, I remember her laying down. I remember me being there every day with her, you know. She was there for months, but I used to go visit her every day at the hospital, be with her, you know, cry with her. And, you know, I used to love my mom's. Like, I still love my mom, you know, but it's going to be a turn in this little story right now that I'm about to say. So, you know, a couple months go by. She gets better, thank the Lord. Her legs, you know, she's still limping because her leg just completely gave up on her. She lost her right leg. And, you know, she just limps and limps and limps. And she can't do much, but she's strong, you know. She always told me to keep steady, keep doing you, do what you have to do. Don't let nobody get in your way. I believe you can be great. I know you're great. And those words, you know, those are the only words I can remember. And the love, that's what I can remember. But to be honest, I didn't really live with my moms. Like, I used to see my moms probably, like, I would say out of the whole year, I'll probably see my mom, like, in total, probably, like, a month. Like, 1 month spent with my mom's when I'm just a little kid, you know, like. And I'm just seeing all these things, having visions, seeing things that I've done that I never even really done. But, you know, it's just, it's things that's popping into my head. And I know I'm not crazy, but I know we all experienced those things. But anyway, long story short, my mom is okay. You know, her leg is messed up. Yeah, she's okay. She could barely work, though. So I was trying my best to do something, you know, for the family and help us out. And, you know, I was working, like, at the age of 9 years old. I used to work at a Dominican superstore. And I basically used to, you know, bag up groceries, little things like that, help out, clean. You know, and I was just helping my mom with a little bit that I can. And about my father, you know, I didn't really talk much about him. I'm still gonna, you know, open up now. He, you know, like, I can say us coming from the Dominican Republic and moving to the United States definitely changed both of our lives, me and my father's lives. Because when I used to live in Dominican Republic, right, me and my father were close. My father loved me. My father, you know, I smiled. Like, when I used to see my father, you know, we had a connection. Like, but, and when, I remember this one time when it was the day my father had came from the Dominican Republic to the United States, and I had to stay behind because I yet hadn't finished my papers, my legal work, my residence, you know, all that, my passport. I didn't have all that legally done yet, so I had to stay back and wait for my dad, you know, to do that so I can get back up there. So my dad, I can recall this right now. I was really an emotional kid, you know. I was like I love my parents, you know, like, that they were the only thing I had, you know, like, and I used to be always lonely. So, like, when my father came, like, and he moved to the United States, I cried for, like, about a whole week. I'm not gonna lie. I cried for a whole week. I didn't know what to do. I was going crazy. I felt like, where's my dad? I could barely see my mom because, you know, my mom couldn't take care of me when she gave birth to me. She was too weak, you know. She was sick. She was, like, you know, always sick. She had a leg problem. She couldn't take care of me after that. You know, she was financially unstable. She had other kids, like my sisters and my brothers. So she gave me away to her friend, which actually was going out with my father, you know, and they had a family. And my father, you know, that's how I had my other sisters, because he had them with that person that my mom gave me away to, which they became friends. And then that also became my second mother. So I could say I have two moms. After that, you know, my father, you know, like, after he came from DR, moved out here, I was crying for a week. Couldn't take it. I didn't know what was going on. I was going crazy. Then I just, you know, calmed down. He gave me a call. He told me, you know, your papers are done. You'll be here in a month. So, you know, I was happy at least at that. But I didn't know what I was coming into. I didn't know how my life was going to change by coming to the United States. And that this is what I'm going to name this episode, Coming to America. This might not be a perfect episode, you know. I might not be saying things perfectly. And I'm trying because this is my first podcast, but this is all true story. This is everything I seen, and I cannot make any piece up, you know. So anyways, my dad comes here to the United States. He's here. Finally, I get my papers done. I come. It was 2007, October 30th. Yeah, October 30th, 2007. It was the day before Halloween. So I moved to New Jersey, Passaic, New Jersey. United States. I came from Dominican Republic. I didn't know no English. I didn't know anything. I didn't know it was gonna be cold. I didn't know anything. So I get on a plane. It's me and my aunt, and you know, my aunt, she's very, like, traditionary and all that stuff. And you know, she's very, like, you know, I would say, like, foreign type. You know, we're not, like, I'll say country-like. So we're on the plane, right? And I remember one time I was on the plane and I looked at my legs, right? And I didn't know, like, I looked at my legs and I didn't know that my legs were ashy, you know, like, cause me, I'm a dark skinned person, you know, like, I'm type dark. So, you know, like when you get in the cold, you get ashy quick, you know? So I looked at my legs and I tell my aunt, I remember this to this day. I tell my aunt, look, I'm white. She looked at me and she laughed. She said, boy, you ashy as hell, boy. That's what you are. Then I realized, yeah, I was ashy. But, you know, I remember that coming here is one of the jokes, you know, that I'll never forget. Me and my aunt Sharon. My aunt currently right now, she's an alcoholic, you know. She's struggling. She's lost in the streets. She's not the same person she used to be. Like, you know, it's just, it's sad. Seeing somebody so normal and so nice, so living such a good life, and you know, you think everything is gonna be all right. And a couple years down the line, they mess themselves up. They completely lose themselves, you know, and don't know how to find themselves. But anyway, I come here, get to the United States, go to New Jersey. Living in New Jersey, Passaic, New Jersey to be exact, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like not having shit and wanting to be shit. That's what I can say. It's like not having shit and wanting to look just like the next person, just like the next man, want to be better than another person. Like, you know, it's a lot of shit that I learned there. And I'm sorry for my curse, and I'm sorry, but this is where I'm from. It's a lot of stuff that I learned there. It's a lot of stuff that I wish I didn't even have to go through, you know, like, because it's stupid things, man. It's like, it's the same story of before, trying to fit in. It's people there that they're not comfortable with how they look. They don't like, you know, it's like they want to be something better. They want to look just like the other person. They're afraid of being who they are. That's what it is. So I was like 9 years old when I first came from DR, you know, long story short. I'm going to school. I met a lot of great people. I remember I didn't know no English at all, and I'm gonna recall this right here, right now. I used to, like, the way I learned English was very easy, like, and I didn't learn English in school. I learned how to write it in school and read it in school, but speaking English became easier for me to learn in the streets, because when I came from DR, all my friends and all the people that I surrounded myself with all spoke English. Literally, I didn't know one word what they were saying. I didn't know what was going on. I just nodded my head. I said, yes, okay. You know, I used to just try to copy what they were saying a little bit. No, and just, you know, became friends. We just stayed cool. I used to play soccer. I used to love soccer, actually. That was one of my dreams, you know, to be a soccer player, but dreams ain't always how you think they are when you're a young kid, you know. And you don't really get to that point that you think you're gonna get when you're young, because as young people, we think we could do everything. We think we know anything. I mean, you can do anything, you know. You can do everything you want to do in life. But you don't know everything, you know. That's the one thing that we missing as youngins. If we were actually to pay attention and listen just a little bit, we would have been all right. And, you know, it would have been a different path probably for your life. But anyways, I used to play soccer, you know, love sports, very athletic kid, you know, like, I really wanted something for myself in sports. So, you know, I focused, kept playing soccer, and mind you, I never ever played soccer in my life either. I started playing soccer with these kids that, you know, they've been doing this, and they this is something that they always have done. So, a couple months go down the line, I became a better soccer player than all of my friends. In 6 months, I could say I mastered English. I say after the 8 months of me just listening and being close to those people that speak English, I knew English already. I knew every word. I said it just how they said it. I sounded good when I said it. And to be honest, I was surprised, because I didn't think I was gonna learn that quick. I didn't think I was gonna, you know, like, But my father did tell me, and this is something that everybody says, you know, when you're young, your mind is capable of anything, you know, like, it's so much open. It's so much more in there. So it's so much more in there than a person that will come from another country at a later age, like, let's say 30, 45. You know, it's going to be harder for those people to learn this language and to get accustomed to this life when they're used to, you know, their culturals. They're used to their naturals. They're used to their country. They're used to their language, their food, you know. It's not going to, you can't just transmit the English in 6 months to that person. Or, you know, unless they're really focused and they really want it. But it's going to be harder because the mental of a grown person from another country or you know, another language, they're so used to their language and their lifestyle that for them to get into a whole different language and restart that life is not going to be as easy as if me, when I came here, I was only 9 years old. Yeah, I knew Spanish, but I hadn't mastered Spanish, you know. My mind was open, you know. I was just a kid. So, like, for me, and cartoons help a lot. That's one thing that really helps kids learn quick. Cartoons, you know, because they teach you how to say the words, you know. I think that if you probably put old people with cartoons and try to teach them, maybe they'll learn because, you know, cartoons are a good way. But it's really hard, you know. Coming to America, it's not as easy as people in DR think. It's not as easy as people in Mexico think. In Colombia, wherever you from, it's not. And I'm gonna let y'all know this right now. When you come to America, it's not gonna be all nice and parties and gifts. No, man, you're coming into a struggle. You're coming into a life that if you're not ready for you, it's gonna kill you. It's gonna beat you, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard, it really is. But hey, this is my first episode of Frankie Gutters Coming to America series. You know, sooner or later, hopefully, I will make my own series. But this is my podcast. Hope y'all like my first podcast. Leave comments, you know. Let me know if you guys want me to make more podcasts, even though I have no listeners. I hope, you know, somebody listen to what I had to say in a little short story of my life. Peace. Frankie Gutter out.